I've got a dedication for all the truth speakers, and especially right now, today, for Dr. Christina Blasey Ford, Deborah Ramirez, Julie Swetnick, Dr. Anita Hill, the two women who confronted one of the senators, and perhaps that's what changed his mind. And to all the daughters, the mothers, the wives, the cousins, and all the men who love them and treat them well and are loved by them. Here's to all of you. I believe.
Held it down.
I believe.
Turn the music loud.
I believe.
So no one could hear.
I believe her.
Put his hands on her.
I believe.
Covered up her mouth.
I believe.
But the truth is out.
I believe.
Emma's Revolution. And a big thank you to Margaret Frimuth, who actually was right here on Coast Community Radio, broadcasting Wednesday evening on women's music. She was the first person in this country, the first radio station in this country, to broadcast this piece before it was even published publicly, commercially. So when you want to know why I might want to support a community radio station, you just ask us the kinds of things we can do that other people can't or won't. And a big shout out thank you to Margaret and to Emma's Revolution and to all of you who are paying attention. Thanks. And my first guest has been paying attention. I don't even know how long because he looks, except that he brought his son, who's 8, so I know he's more than 21 years old. But he looks about that. And I'm going to play some of his music and tell you that I watched him play this music on a video on his website, and I was totally blown away. Stephen Buse is in the studio. Have a listen, and then we'll talk. ¶¶ We could sit here and just listen to beautiful music, but I think instead of that, I will invite you to join Stephen at his concert, which is happening tomorrow evening at 7 p.m. at the Cannon Beach Community Church. It's part of the Steinway series that is being produced. David Robinson is here to give us a little bit of background. David is the lead pastor at the church, and he's also a music man. Jazz, I believe, isn't it?
That's right.
Yeah, I remember. But lately, you've been more of the producer, entrepreneur.
Thanks for having us today, Carol.
You bet.
Yes. As you know, a year ago, a community church brought a 7-foot Steinway to the sanctuary there in Cannon Beach, and it's a marvelous instrument, 2008 instrument, and so this is the second annual Steinway Fall Concert Series, and tomorrow night, Stephen Bius is kicking it off. We have one concert per month. In fact, in November, we have two concerts. It includes the, in November, on November 18th, the Northwest Piano Trio and Friends perform a program titled 3-4-5 with selections from a variety of classical composers. A pianist will be there and five string instrumentalists.
Oh, okay.
And then Jennifer Goodenberger will come in December to play a winter holiday series on concert on December 22nd. Stephen's playing tomorrow night for our September series, and I'm going to let Stephen speak about his
October.
Own coming.
Oh, no, it is.
In September, tomorrow night, yeah. And each one of these concerts are, the first three are benefits for our Cannon Beach food pantry. And they're $10 tickets at the door, no advance sales.
We don't give prices.
Yes,
but
okay. But anyway,
benefit,
there you go. And it is a benefit for our Cannon Beach food pantry, and it will be tomorrow night. That's out of Stephen's kindness, because he wanted to play this concert tomorrow night in honor of a dear friend of his who died a year ago, a man by the name of Tom Drumheller of Escape Lodging and a longtime resident of Cannon Beach. Stephen and Tom met way back in Walla Walla when Stephen was studying piano at Whitman.
Mm-hmm.
And Stephen has come to Cannon Beach numerous times, partly at Tom's invitation. And so last year, Stephen played our first annual Steinway concert series. Mm-hmm. And he said, I'd like to come back again and offer a memorial concert as a benefit in memory of Tom.
So, beautiful. So. Well, welcome, Stephen. Stephen Bues, that's B-E-U-S.
Thank you.
I am delighted because, as I mentioned to you, I've seen your name so many times, and I never actually saw your picture. And when I went to your website, I was amazed because I so thoroughly enjoyed watching your hands and listening to you play the very piece we just heard, which was
La Campanella by Franz Liszt. Thank you.
It was just beautiful, but I was a bit shocked to see how young you are. So I guess you're not quite as young because Jonathan's sitting here.
Yes, I'm not as young as I used to be. We'll maybe just leave it there.
You and the rest of us. So, but have you been playing piano since you were his age?
Yes, I started playing the piano when I was 2 years old.
Oh,
actually,
my.
And then I started lessons when I was five, and I haven't stopped.
Well, how do you start playing a piano at two? Were your parents pianists?
Yes, my mother plays very well, but I'm the fourth of eight children, and so My parents didn't really have time to force us to do anything, but my mother taught piano lessons at our house, and so little kids would come to our house and play these little songs. And when I was 2 years old, I went to the piano, and I, instead of banging at the piano, I was trying to play the songs that these little kids were playing.
Right.
And I was, one of the most puzzling things to me about my life was why I was so intrigued with the piano when I was so young. But I've always really, really loved it.
And you didn't figure it out, but you stuck with it.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
You know, a lot of my musician guests started on either piano or violin, fiddle. Violin. But then they went into other instruments.
Mm-hmm.
But apparently, maybe you're an old soul and you had some ancient connection with a keyboard somewhere in your history. So where did it go from there? You started lessons at five with your mother or with someone else?
With a local teacher. And then when I was nine, I started studying with Leonard Richter, who was teaching at Walla Walla University. And so we would take this two-hour trip by car one way for lessons when I was 9 years old, all the way until I was 18, and he was...
Did you say 2 hours one each way?
Yeah,
holy cow.
My mother was a saint.
I guess she realized that you were very serious about it, so, because a lot of kids aren't, and so certainly their parents are not going to... David's sitting here going, yep, his son's a photographer after all, not a pianist. So, and then did you continue studying?
Yeah, I studied at Whitman College in Walla Walla, Washington. Then I went to the Juilliard School in New York for a master's degree, 2 years. And then I stayed at Juilliard for an artist diploma. So I was there for a total of 4 years. And I entered a lot of competitions. I lost a lot of them and I won a few and had the opportunity to play around quite a lot. I've got to play in Carnegie Hall a few times. And nice. But Cannon Beach is definitely has a special place in my heart.
Well, especially now that there's a Steinway to play.
Well, that helps,
good job, David. And do you still live in Walla Walla in eastern Washington?
I have family still there. I live near Provo, Utah. I teach, I'm a professor at Brigham Young University.
Okay, now it's like getting... So this driving 2 hours to a lesson kind of set you up. So now you live in Provo and you come all the way over here to play your concerts.
Absolutely.
That's fantastic. And what are you teaching there?
I teach piano performance. I have a studio of 10 piano performance majors. I teach a graduate course and an undergraduate course in literature. And I do a lot of
literature.
Performing. Piano literature. Yeah,
thank
sorry.
You. Okay.
Yes,
no.
Thank you for clarifying.
That's what I'm thinking.
Piano literature, yeah.
Okay.
And then I do a fair amount of traveling. I go to China, occasionally to Europe, and I get to perform a fair amount. And I just love music. I feel so lucky that I get to spend my time and my career.
It's wonderful.
In music.
Yeah. I like to put this information out also because, again, a lot of folks think of the arts as a hobby.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to make sure folks realize if it's in your heart strong enough and you're willing to work, because obviously you have, it's a profession and very exciting that your whole life. So do you always play solo or do you also...
I mostly play solo recitals, but I'll also perform with orchestras, you know, concertos. Actually, I performed in Astoria maybe 10 years ago or 11 years ago with an orchestra here. Every year I go to New York City to play with a chamber series and we'll do, you know, piano trios or quartets. But more often than not, I'm doing solo.
Great. And what is it? What does it do for you? Besides, obviously, now it's a way of life and the profession actually earns your keep. What is it?
That's a hard question to answer, but there's something about the piano that I think is really wonderful. Starting with Beethoven treated the piano like an orchestra. You can have so many different colors. Of course, you have high sounds on the piano, low sounds, and medium, middle register, and you can make the quietest sounds. And then you can make a sound that's big enough to almost compete with the full orchestra. And so you combine all of these different colors that you can make at the piano, and you have so much varied repertoire. And I think one of the reasons that I keep playing the piano is that there's continuously music that is fascinating to me. I mean, there's Prokofiev sonatas. I'm playing a Prokofiev sonata that I recently learned, and it's just, it kind of blows my mind when I play it. I mean, the music is so overwhelming to me, and it's thrilling to me that I get to, you know, try and play it, and I just love it.
Stephen told me yesterday that Prokofiev piece, he has yet to play it in public yet.
So this will be my first public performance.
So great.
A world premiere. Another world premiere. We love that. So do you ever write music?
I don't do a lot of writing. I do some arranging for church, and I enjoy that. Mm-hmm. But I just enjoy playing other people's music. There were composers who did a better job of writing music than I would do, so I'll just play their music.
Although, you know, there's a young man sitting in this room who I understand does some writing, so someday you may be playing his music.
That's true. My son does enjoy composition, and he's written some great stuff.
Yeah, he's looking like, what? I just want to read this because I did jot down from the Fort Worth Star Telegram, and I was thinking, is he from Fort Worth? Because I just pulled a few words. Great native-born pianist. And that struck me because we've got the Russians coming here. Ilya Kazantsev was fabulous. Mm-hmm. Russian. Mm-hmm. And, of course, our cellist. And this is one that relates to what you just said. And also from Fort Worth, an emotional vision beyond just playing the thousands of notes, and brings to mind the young Van Cliburn. Uh-huh, okay. That's not a bad recommendation. And the other was from Fanfare Magazine, strikingly original, extraordinarily rich, and extraordinary richness and depth, not quite like anyone else's. So obviously, you'll have to be coming back because you like it here and because I can't see your concert this time, and I must. Although I have to recommend, could you give people your website?
Yes, stephenbeuspiano.com, StephenBeus.
Yeah, and I highly recommend having a look and just watching the video. It was a joy because whoever gets that close to a piano and to be able to watch your hands moving so skillfully.
It's an honor for us to have Stephen come out and kick off the second annual Steinway Piano Concert Series this fall, and it is a joy to watch him play because his hands blur with the clarity and dexterity, and the piano is moved to the center stage, and so if you want to get a good view, you got to go come in early and sit on the left.
Tell folks where you are.
Yeah, we're downtown Cannon Beach at the corner of Washington and Hemlock at 132 East Washington at Cannon Beach Community Church. We look forward to meeting with you tomorrow night.
And the concert is at 7. 7
p.m.
Doors open 6:30?
Yes. Yeah, 6:30. That's right.
Okay. Yep. And this is, StephenBeusPiano.com. is your website. Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you so much for coming in. David, thank you for doing this.
Thanks for having us.
So let me just quickly, did you solicit that Steinway, or did someone just come and say, hey, you guys want a Steinway?
Somebody I knew said, I'd like to donate to get a really nice piano here, and we kicked off a Steinway fund, and if about an eight-month funding process, and we, within 8 months, had raised the $60,000 to purchase this instrument and also have an endowment to maintain it. And
smart.
It's a and you know, in a wet, humid climate, you need to make sure that the space it's in is regulated, and and it's a local, beautiful, I mean, it's a beautiful acoustic space, but also very intimate space. So it seats about 200, and
that means get there.
Look forward to being with you tomorrow night.
Okay,
thanks for having us today, Carol.
Enjoy so much. Great meeting you.
Thank you so much.
Bye bye, and bye, Jonathan. Next time, I want to hear one of your compositions.
Thanks, Carol.
Okay. And I have lots more guests coming up. Right now, I have a piece of music from the, let me get their name right. I just call them the 4S, but it's Super Saturated Sugar Strings. That's hard to say, Super Saturated Sugar Strings. And they are here to play an entire weekend with one of their members, a lead, Carlisle Watt, also being a James Beard nominee chef, and they will be, he'll be cooking up meals, and they'll be playing music, and you can find them. They're going to be at the Shelburne tonight at 6. You need to check in and get a ticket or reservation, or at least get some information. And Pretty Gritty is going to be playing tonight as well. Tomorrow evening is pickled fish without Carlisle's food. Pickled fish at the Adrift, of course. And then Sunday morning is brunch back at the Shelburne with a brunch cooked by Carlisle Watt. Here's the Super Saturated Sugar Strings.
It seemed to him a gem. The smile and swagger drew him in. He'd never seen her there before. He never let her go, he swore. He tried his best to earn a smile, and even then it took a while. She kept her distance from afar, but they were written in the stars all of their hours. Sun and showers, fingers and dilates. Their love is not a race. They hold the love of all the world inside their smile. She called me up to share the news, 'cause she's the kind of girl who could always choose. She said she finally found the one. Her heart no longer had to run. I knew her truth straight from her lies. Then he was a guy, he was the apple of her eye, her heart affixed unto his own. All his love to her, he'd shown all of his hours, through sun and shower, fingers and dilates. Their love is not a race, they hold the love of all the world inside their smile, the fuel for all their many miles. They own the world together, through all sorts of moods and every kind of weather. Through careful thought they made the choice, spend life together and rejoice. Magnets always will attract, she's his, he's hers, and that's a fact. And here's a little truth to tell, we share an
And that is the Super Saturated Sugar Strings. You can go to the Adrift or the Shelburne Hotel, Washington, or WA.com for more information. That's tonight, tomorrow night, and Sunday morning. Food and music. Good food, good music. Wow. Who could ask for anything more? Well, I could, and I've got it right here. My good friend, Iris Sullivan Dare, is here, and she has been running all over the place with Indigo. And
Hi.
You were in Texas?
I was in Texas a couple of weeks ago.
Did that have to do with Indigo?
I did. A weekend retreat with women writers, and mm-hmm. we used Indigo as a means of talking about personal story, and it was super fun.
Okay, I trust you, but I have no idea what that means.
Well, tell
people, because you know, we hear the word Indigo sisters. We hear
right.
indigo
yeah,
patterns. What is indigo?
So indigo is one of the very oldest dyes that people have used. The earliest evidence we have is from a little scrap from Peru from like 6,200 years ago. We also,
wow.
there's evidence that Egypt was trading with India to get the pigment from them because they had such a long history of it. So it's been around for a really long time. If anyone's ever worn Levi's, they've worn indigo. Though since the 1880s, most indigo in the world has been from synthetic indigo.
Mm.
It's the same molecule, but made by people. And plants do it in a way that's non-toxic. People haven't figured out a way to make it without it being kind of a toxic process. And so we're in the midst of indigo really having a resurgence in a worldwide level because there's been such an interest in more sustainable means of creating color for ourselves because as humans, we love color.
So is indigo always deep blue?
So indigo is always blue. It's the one true blue of the natural world, other than lapis. A lot of things like birds look blue, but they're actually, it's a kind of a trick of physics. They're not actually blue. If you grind up blue feathers, it's not blue pigment.
Wow.
So indigo is really amazing in that way. But what was your question? I think I got off trail.
Is it always blue?
It is always blue, but it can be many, many shades of blue. It can be very pale.
Oh, that's it. I said, is it always dark blue?
Yeah,
right.
It can be from pale to almost black.
The plant itself comes in different colors? Or what you do to it makes it different?
So the really thing that's interesting about indigo is that we call it all indigo. The N molecule is the same, but it's in hundreds of plants worldwide. And so pretty much many, many plants in the tropical world, fewer plants in temperate climates like ours. We can pretty much grow woad, which is the European, that's what my ancestors were dyeing themselves blue with. but Japanese indigo grows really well here, and it's not invasive. It's actually illegal to cultivate woad in the state of Oregon and the state of Washington because it's an invasive plant here.
My.
It wasn't in Europe, but you know how that goes.
Yeah, I didn't know, but I know now. That's W-O-D-E?
Yes. Yep.
With a slash.
So, no, W-O-A-D.
W-O-A-D.
Yeah.
Okay, whoa.
It's in the cabbage family, ironically. and ironically, Japanese indigo is in the buckwheat family, the same as knotweed, but it's not frost hardy, so it's not invasive here.
Now, have you always known about indigo?
So I've been dying with indigo for... I started in college. I had a fermentation vat in college, so over 20 years. I had a big gap, during some other blue things.
Like raising children.
Raising children
and
the blue scorcher.
Blue scorcher.
ironically, blue from the blue scorcher is somewhat influenced by indigo
as
the color choice. But
yeah,
so I have been. But I just started growing it last year for the first time. And that's because of this really amazing woman who lives in Gearhart, Brittany Bowles of Sea Spell Fibers. Really got just completely turned on by indigo because there's a woman in a farm in Vibrant Valley Farm in Sophie Island started growing indigo a couple years ago. And she started growing indigo on the coast, and she gave some plants to my friend Kestrel Gates of High Highlights.
Mm-hmm.
And we grew some indigo last year. And I've been wanting to grow it for decades, you know, two decades, but finally last year and this year I grew a whole bunch of plants and gave plants to like six different people.
And is it successful?
I just did my second harvest this week, and I got about a pint of pigment paste from probably, I guess, like it would have been a heaping wheelbarrow full of plant material.
Yeah. But that's concentrated, that pint.
Yeah.
So that probably goes a long distance or not?
So yeah, it does. I mean, it's very precious. Like I'm trying to think of like how many pounds of fabric I will be able to dye with that. I don't have that like kind of figured out. Like, you can, like about like a quarter pound of dry pigment might dye you might be able to dye like 5 pounds.
So you make the pigment and then you dry it?
Or? So you can. I'm keeping mine as a paste because I want to do some printing with it. But the thing that's interesting about indigo is once you have it in the pigment state, it's insoluble. It's not like if you put it in water, it's just going to soak to the sink to the bottom. You can't dye with it in that way. And in order to dye with it, you have to. And that's one of the things I love about indigo is it's absolutely about this relationship between plants and people. It doesn't exist. Like it what exists in the plant is a precursor.
Mm-hmm.
What exists in the dye vat is absolutely about human intervention.
Mm-hmm.
And people all over the world have intervened in all different kinds of ways.
Mm-hmm.
You have to have something that will raise the pH. So they might have used urine. They might have used, I'm using oyster shells that Susie McCleary, actually, became a programmer, is my neighbor. And she gave me a...
as I might say, was Iris back in the day.
Yes,
go ahead.
And Richard Rowland baked it in his kiln for me to turn it into lime. So I like grind it up and that raises the pH. And then you have to have what's called a reducing agent. And that can be all kinds of things. And in traditional cultures, it has been all kinds of things from bananas to chicken feet, you know, like all kinds of things.
So this is a community effort here.
Yeah.
From where it came from and the whole process, addition and subtraction. And
yes.
Now,
well,
you know what we forgot to mention is I went straight for the indigo because that's what you're doing.
Yeah.
So you were involved in an indigo festival in Nehalem in August, and then the High High Bazaar also in August. Then you went off to the Austin, Texas Women's Writing Retreat at the end of August, and now...
in 1 week.
Saturday, a week from tomorrow, you'll be part of the Indigo Resistance Shibori class and movie night. And I love this because Indigo Resistance sounds like the name of a band or something.
We should be a band.
You should.
If only I was a musician.
Okay. So tell us briefly what that is and how people can...
It's a afternoon workshop using indigo, so you'll get to get your hands in a natural indigo vat, not chemicals, but from the plant. And you'll have a variety of pieces of things. And one of the things that's really interesting about indigo is it has very good boundaries. And so by folding it and clamping it or tying it, and this is something that all the cultures that have used indigo kind of figured out ways to do that, you can prevent the indigo from getting in areas and create pattern. Yeah, so you can create pattern in interesting
ways. Where is this happening?
This is happening out at High High Lights. They have a spring and fall class series each year they've been trying to do out there and inviting different artisans.
So how does someone who might be interested either sign up or get more information?
So you can either go on High High Lights, HIIHLIGHTS, and then on their website there's a page for This Is Barn, and that has information. You can also look on my website, which is dreambirdstudio.com. And on there, there's some information on how to, if you know me, just call me. And we have about five spots left for the workshop. And then the workshop, if people can also choose to do kind of a double feature, and I'm making a little farm to table, very, very, very simple meal. And then, then followed by a documentary made by a Canadian natural dye
What time of the day is this?
It starts at 2 p.m. on October 6th.
Mm-hmm. And it goes till whenever?
Probably till about 7 or so. There'll be 3 hours of workshop, some food. And if you stay for the workshop, you'll be able to dip. Because indigo gets darker. You have to dip it multiple times. It's like a cumulative process. So the darker you want it, the more dips you have to do.
Sounds like if you're going to do it, do the whole thing because there's
it'll be more fun.
It'll be more fun, and also you've garnered so much knowledge and information. People should definitely take advantage of you. There's no doubt about it. This my guest is Iris Sullivan Dare, and this is the Indigo Resistance Shibori class and movie and Is it a potluck?
Or no, I'm just going to feed people.
Oh, my God.
It's my other little realm. My other little amazing.
What a deal. Okay.
Got to bring in the farm wife skills.
Right. Iris and her husband, Joe, were the main forces in the Blue Scorcher. So, sounds great. I'm glad you're here and you're around. And are you offering any other classes or stuff?
I don't have anything on the calendar yet. Okay. I definitely will be teaching more classes in 2019.
Okay.
Probably not to the rest of this year. I just taught like five classes.
Dreambirdstudio.com. Do you actually keep it up to date? Or rather, does one of your sons keep it up?
I wish one of my sons would do that. It's actually brilliant.
Yeah.
I actually do. I write about natural dyes and I also, it has like my connection to my Instagram feed. I'm kind of a little obsessed with Instagram.
This is terrific. Iris, thank you so much. I'm glad we finally found a time when you could come in and talk.
Thank you so much for inviting me, Carol.
And just in time too. So
I know, right? Please sign up. If you like the color blue, if you're interested
there
in
you
dyes,
go.
You should sign up for sure. Okay. It's very reasonable.
Okay.
All right, thank you so much.
And again, that's next Saturday, dreambirdstudio.com or highlights. And I have more guests. And first, I've got a piece of music from Elizabeth Nicholson and Bob Soper. They are doing, it's got a fun name too. It's at the Peninsula Performing Arts Center in Long Beach. And tonight is open mic, but tomorrow night it's Celtic Ballads of Heartbreak and Murder. Lovely. There you go. They have terrific music there all the time. Thanks for being here, Coast Community Radio. Whether that sounds very heartbreaking, but that was Elizabeth Nicholson and Bob Soper. Elizabeth plays harp usually, and Bob's a multi-instrumentalist. Celtic Ballads of Heartbreak and Murder. Well, that might be very suitable for right now, too. A few people I can... Anyway, moving right along, my next guests... good buddies. At least one of them is. He's the one who's laughing because we do share a sense of humor. And that would be Deke Guidi. Hi, Deke.
Hello.
Deke is the professor instructor of rhetoric. I have to make my mouth right when I say that word. And with Deke is Bob Liotta. Bob?
Hello there.
Hi. And Bob, I don't even know you. That sounds like a song too, doesn't it?
Yes, it is.
Who are you? Yep. Who are you in outside life? I mean,
I think we have Prospect Park in.
Oh my God, he's a Brooklyn boy. Would you believe
Brooklyn
it,
boy.
Folks?
We have that in common.
Oh my God, that's great. What a room. We have a little United Nations here.
Right.
Of course, this is the New York crowd, it's the ethnics. And we have three ethnics, and then we have a northerner. He's also some kind of ethnic, but I'm not, you know, not going to call it. Michael Desmond is here with us, too. Hi, Michael.
Hello, Carol. Actually, Irish and German, in case you were wondering.
Actually,
you
this
want me closer?
No,
like that?
Yeah,
gotcha.
This mic works. And Michael is a radio guy. That's why, you know.
That's why I turned it
that's
the
why
way.
I have to tell him how to do it.
Sure.
But Michael is, he's worn a lot of hats. All three of these people are here from the Astor Street Opry Company. Two of them are improv actors. Guess which one's right. Okay, you're going to start, right? You're going to start.
Yeah.
Michael probably is very good at improv, too, because he wears a lot of hats and has in the community. The latest one, I'm going to ask you to give the full title at the Astor Street Opry.
That would be the Director of Communications, Marketing, and Technology, or DCMT.
Now, is that kind of like those those vaccines that they put the letters together?
It is nothing
together?
Like a vaccine, no, I Carol. Mean,
Carol, I think you should come and do improv. You are killing it today. There's a one drink minimum to be on the show.
It's the Brooklyn boy.
Okay,
being,
okay.
But the reason I'm saying that, Michael, is because the way you said it, it sounds like it's a package deal. Or is it just that these are your skills and these are things that were needed, so you put them together?
It's what I do, so it seems the title should reflect your job, so hence that.
Okay, because the I think Marcus before you just had a much simpler...
He did.
Yeah. So, I'm glad you're there.
Thank you.
How long have you been there?
Since February.
Not very long.
No, but long enough to make a title for myself.
That's these are the important things in life.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Okay, now,
yes.
He's not listening. How's he doing?
Great.
Okay. That's
very
a good,
good
thing. Actually, I heard good reports about him from the instructor and director of this improv comedy night, and that would be Karen Bain, who is a fantastic, fantastic director and theater person. And Karen likes working with Michael, too. So, but I'm going to ask him to hold off because he's got a whole issue to talk about. He's an angel. Actually, he's going to talk about the ASOC angels, which is a good thing. I want you two to tell me, what is this night of improv comedy? Have you been studying? Have you been working together?
Yes.
And who's the we? There are like a whole bunch of you, it sounds like.
Yeah.
Yeah, we have a really good crew, and it was very exciting for me to be involved with them, as I just really came to audition from an ad that Karen placed in Craigslist, I think. Or
really,
yeah.
Wow!
And
have you done this before, though?
I have done theater before, but I've never done improv. This involves an awareness and being in the moment and really learning to relate to people and what their ideas are and learning how to interact. And that's what I'm learning from Karen and Deke. And
that's huge.
We're just having a lot of fun with it.
That sounds like something that the entire world needs to learn right now.
Exactly.
Don't you think?
That's really true. Yes.
Yeah. So, and how long have you been doing this? Have you been taking this class? How long has it been going on?
It's been about a month, I think.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. But you're a fast...
I was going to say more like 2 weeks.
Feels that way.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
And how many of you are there in this group?
There are eight of us.
Okay.
Yes, it's a mix of oldies and but goodies and new folks to the theater scene, like
mm-hmm.
Bob.
Mm-hmm.
We've got from the... old days, I shouldn't say, now it makes them sound, but Laurie Wilson-Honnell.
Oh, yes.
Lamar Blackner,
yes.
Of course, and myself. And then we've got Sasha Miller.
Oh.
And Babs Teague.
Whom I don't even know.
Oh, she's
That's exciting.
She's going to be the new it girl of Astoria after this. Yeah. Julian Thomas. And, and Bob.
Leonda. Okay.
And so, yes.
One more.
Oh, really? Oh, and TJ. TJ Newton. So he's kind of in the middle. He's done a lot of theater at Cannon Beach.
Okay.
And things like that.
Wow. This is exciting, though, that there's this mix of new people. And so a lot of you didn't know each other.
No.
When you went into it. Are you all going to be on stage, as it were, at the same time?
Yes.
Can you just, for people who've never heard, what does improv mean? And Bob just gave a really good description of the philosophy and how it works, but how is it going to manifest? What will people see?
We go back and forth between telling people that it's like an episode of Whose Line Is It Anyway, in that there will be given structures and there will be people on stage and then we'll have a host. But as much as it is like it, it's not like it, because it's a live thing with, you know, local people, and it's theater that's thought up on the spot. I mean, we practice structures, but every time there's a new place or a new character or a new event or something like that, and so we're approaching it just from a very spontaneous point of view.
All of the objects from each skit are submitted by the audience.
Oh, so it has to be new.
It has to be new
to the actors. Yeah.
Yes.
Very challenging that way.
Very challenging, as a matter of fact.
But what makes it fun is that it's very much in the vein, kind of in the similar vein of Shanghai, in that we want audience participation. Mm-hmm. We encourage audience participation.
I can't wait. It's going to be so much fun. But improv, I think that's something. Spontaneity and improvisation should be instilled from kindergarten.
Yeah.
Because could save your life. It could be the most important skill you could have, is to think on your feet, to be able to respond in any situation and to any kind of a stimulus.
Absolutely.
Without falling apart. And so going to be fun. This is happening 4 nights.
Yep.
And so each night is going to be
every night's
totally
different show. You could come all 4 nights.
Because
actually,
the
and it would be
different.
Mm-hmm.
So it starts Friday night, the 5th. It's Friday and Saturday night, the 5th and 6th. And then the next week, the 12th and 13th.
Yep.
7 p.m. at the Esther Street Playhouse, which is 129 West Bond. And you figure out how to get there. If you don't live here, you better go in advance and find it. It's not that hard, except that streets keep getting closed off and opened up, and I don't even know how to get there anymore. So
it's a bright red building.
It's a beautiful, whoa, brand new paint job.
Yes,
holy
it is.
Cow, that was quite a surprise when I drove by and I went, whoa! Yeah, that's an easy way to tell people to find it. So now, the Esther Street Opera Company is community theater. Michael, this is where you come in.
Okay.
You're doing a lot of the everything work, including fundraising.
Mm-hmm.
And so tell us what is coming up. It's in 3 weeks.
Uh-huh. Yeah, it's a busy month for us.
Oh,
yeah.
Very.
Yeah. So October 20th is what this is. It's called Be an ASOC Angel Fundraiser. It's an annual event. We haven't done it every year, so we can't say an actual number, but it's something we do almost every year, and we're doing it this year at our theater. And this year the theme is 1950s, and part of what we're going to do is have a live presentation of a 50s, 60s, 70s, actually all the way into the 2000s game show called I've Got a Secret.
Oh, yes.
And the original host was Gary Moore, who went on to do To Tell the Truth. They're all pretty much the same. And
these were on television, if you know what that is.
If you know what television is, yeah, they were on the black and white screen.
Right.
And so that's kind of where the 50s thing comes in. And so the way this is going to work, people come in for dinner. We open the doors at 5:30. We're going to raffle off 3 of the 4 panelists. They're going to ask the questions. And so there's 4 people up on stage. We bring in a guest who's going to be somebody from one of our other productions. One's from Shanghai, one's from Scrooged, and one's from The Real Story of Lewis and Clark.
Okay.
And those will be the guests on the show that have the secrets. So we have these four panelists. They will ask these people yes or no questions.
Uh-huh.
They will get a minute each to do that, and they'll get two shots at it, and they try and figure out what the secret is, and we give them a vague idea of what it is.
I hope so.
Yeah. And then they try and figure it out, and the audience will know because we'll have them written on cards, and we'll show the audience what it is,
right.
But the panelists will have no idea.
Right.
And so hopefully fun will ensue. And
okay.
I'm going to be the MC for this thing, so
oh,
it should be a lot of fun. And then we have a silent auction, live auction. We have food, all that stuff, and people can buy artwork and all sorts of things.
Now,
so.
I understand you're having a full dinner.
We
is
are.
That right?
Uh-huh, yeah.
Fulio's dinner.
Uh-huh, yep.
And then Table 360 desserts.
Uh-huh.
Nice, nice. And I, for full disclosure, I've attended many of these, and it's always a delight, and it's always good stuff.
Yeah.
I have some really amazing things. But you need to go in order to take part. So how does one... Do they just show up at the door?
No, we would like them to go to our website, which is asocplay.com.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank
asocplay.com. Go there. You can buy the tickets pretty easy. It's like picking seats on an airline. You just go and you click and you
right.
buy your tickets and you can come on in and bid on the stuff if you want. There's some pretty cool stuff that'll be up for bid, so we're looking forward to that. And I just want to throw in real quick, our holiday production, Scrooge and Astoria, has auditions coming up
yes.
in the middle of their
That's
improv
like
thing.
October 8th or something
Yeah,
crazy.
7th and 8th. Yeah. Yeah. So
best to go on the website
yeah,
and
please do.
Find out all this stuff. That was one of the first things that Michael did. I presume that was you who
it
did
was.
It. Yeah. Was to take the website name or whatever you call it, domain or something, and squish
URL.
It.
URL. Yeah.
URL. There you go. I know the language, you can tell. I am so low tech. I love it. ASOC Play, ASOCplay.com. That's it. It's nice and simple. You don't have to remember all those, which words are in and which words aren't. And the other thing, that's right, I'd forgotten you're a techie. Even though you're not a kid, you're a techie. So this is a good thing. And I think we mentioned at the beginning, and I want to mention it again, this is a fundraiser
mm-hmm.
For this amazing theater. The Astor Street Opry Company has been in existence for how many years?
34 and a half.
And it is all community.
Yes.
And that means starting from the little ones. They find things to do and get kids trained to start loving theater and doing theater. When my granddaughter was here, I wasn't sure how it was going to go over. She was like sitting there with her mouth hanging open. We went to Shanghai. She was like, oh my God. She went home and she got immediately involved in Missoula. They live in Wyoming. Otherwise, they'd be in, yeah. Otherwise, don't
Missoula
worry.
Children's Theater.
Yeah, yeah. Because yeah, that was what was there. But that's what I love about the Astor Street Opry Company is that it reaches out to the whole community. So this is an opportunity for people to support the theater, have a great time, and make sure that more stuff keeps happening, like a night of improv. So the the ASOC, that's Astor Street Opry Company, be an ASOC Angel, is October 20th. Again, that is Saturday, 3 weeks from tomorrow night.
Mm-hmm.
Got to count in my head because the calendar doesn't go back and forward. 6 p.m., doors open at 5:30. There's dinner, desserts, live, interactive. I've got a secret. And 50s themes, should people dress so they can?
If they want to, we hope they do.
That would be funny. And a TV, TV trays, did I
TV
hear
trays,
that?
Yeah. Well, you know, 50s, it's like having a TV dinner. You're going to watch a game show, eat your food. That was kind
awesome.
Of the thinking.
That's
yeah.
really
yeah.
wild.
Awesome.
It's going to be a blast. And coming up sooner than that, starting a week from tonight, and that's Friday and Saturday night, the 5th and 6th, and then the next week, the 13th, 12th and 13th, is the Night of Improv Comedy with two of the improv improvisationalist?
Well, that was good.
Yeah.
Improvisos, I believe.
I like that better. There you go. Dee Guidi and Bob Liotta, thank you all for coming in.
Thank you, Carol. I'm looking forward to all of it. Thank you.
Great. Okay. And I have, by the way, it's, I mentioned, it's gone down to 67 degrees now. It's still very warm in here. There is a fan going, and you may be hearing it, and it's keeping me sane. So, and speaking of being sane, what we need to do to stay sane right now is get out the vote. Yeah, get out and vote. That's Ben Yarrow. And they are not only getting out the vote, they're also playing at the Brewfest, which is this weekend. It's happening today, tomorrow, and Sunday. And they're playing at 1:30 tomorrow. They will be broadcast on KMUN, as well as you can go there live. And they're at the Voodoo Room tomorrow night at 8:30. And Troll Radio Review is coming to you tomorrow morning live from the Pacific Northwest Brew Cup, which is over by the Columbia, the Maritime Museum. I think it's over by the Barbie Building, 22nd Street rather than 17th. And we've got Red Beans and Rice, Maggie and the Cats, and the Troll Radio House Band. That's 11 to noon. And again, this is all broadcast live. And then KMUN's going to be broadcasting all day. It's going to be fabulous. And then there's some more broadcasting on Sunday. I have given 1 minute to Kristen Schock. She'll come back later, but tell us right now what's going on.
Really, really quickly,
at the college.
We have a fantastic show on the walls right now.
Royal Nebuchadnezzar Gallery at Clatsop Community College.
That's right.
What's the show?
That's right. And it's up on the walls right now. It's the Au Naturel solo show. We brought an artist named Justina. I don't speak Polish. Maybe Carol can pronounce her last name better.
I don't have it written down.
Justina.
So.
Yeah. And she's coming up from the Bay Area, but she's originally from Poland. Fantastic work. Kind of tongue-in-cheek, humorous, beautifully painted, colorful, called America is a Great Place to Live.
So the show is up
It's up
now.
Right now.
Has there been a reception for it?
No. The reception is coming up. So I hope everyone
when
will
is that?
Jot that down on your calendars. October 18th.
Okay, so
6 o'clock.
6 o'clock, October 18th.
Thursday evening, October 18th at 6 p.m.
Okay,
yes.
And that is, then there's another show coming up right after that. We may be able to get Kristen back for that because we are out of time. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
That, and
okay.
You'll keep in touch.
Yes.
Death Trap is on at the Coaster Theater and Wings Over Willapa. Super Saturated Weekend, the Brew Cup, Peninsula Performing Arts Center tonight, open mic. Tomorrow is Elizabeth Nicholson and Bob Soper. Mike Corey is playing tonight at the North Beach Tavern in Long Beach tomorrow. Oh, hey, I've got tickets to give you, folks. I have tickets to give you for the Liberty Theater for tomorrow evening with Grammy Night with Doug Smith and the fabulous Bruce Smith, whom we know locally. The show is at 7:30 at the Liberty Theater. And I have tickets for you if you just call here, 503-325-0010, tickets. Please call. Get those tickets.